Today, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. I want to talk with you about the committed, about commitment. And I want to tell you what a blessing it is to have been able to worship with a family who has committed themselves to serving the Lord. I don't know if you heard Eric say a while ago, but they're going to be doing somewhere around 400, actually probably a little bit over 400 opportunities for them throughout this year to be able to lead in worship, worshiping of King Jesus. And so we're just going to commit you guys to prayer. But you have so truly blessed us this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing us to worship with you. Thank you so much for that. And so you found in your Bibles this morning, Galatians chapter 4. Verses 8 through 11, we're continuing our journey through Galatians. I think it's important for us as we travel, we understand where the context, what we've been talking about over the last several months, actually, as we've jumped around from one place to another. But Paul was dealing with the church at Galatia, the churches of Galatia. He was dealing with legalism in the church. He was dealing with a set of rules that were trying to be reestablished in the congregations, a way for them to say that they were saved without making it all about Jesus. But if we're going to be honest, if we're going to be candid, if we're going to talk about what the Word says, then we've got to understand the full gospel, the full message of the Word of God, and that is that it's all about Jesus and that it's only about Jesus. That's what Paul was saying. Why is it that you have so quickly turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the gospel of the one who has saved you? And so this morning, I want you to think about being committed. There are a lot of things in our lives that we commit our time to. Our schedules are jam-packed full of things that go on through the week. How many of you have work to go to in the morning? And then you come home sometime this week. Maybe you did it yesterday, or maybe you'll do it this afternoon. But sometimes you have to go and you have to buy groceries to get ready to prepare meals for your family. Maybe you're like the Isbels and you eat on the road all the time because you eat on the road a lot, don't you? And maybe that's you. But you see, we have school and we have sports and we throw church in there occasionally just to make us feel better about ourselves. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to commitment, we really don't do well. We're so caught up in all of the things that are going on, we commit for a time, and then just a little while later, maybe because we're tired and we've worn out from all the commitments we have, we break one of our commitments. I want to challenge you this morning as we talk about commitments. Listen to me. The most important commitment that you'll ever be able to make is with a relationship with King Jesus. That has to be what's on the forefront of your mind, the forefront of your heart. You have to understand the importance of you developing in that relationship with Jesus. And it is not something that you can practice on Wednesdays and Sundays and think that you're really developing and growing a relationship. That's not what commitment to King Jesus is about. Commitment to King Jesus is an every day and every moment of the day, every opportunity you have to bring praise, honor, and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what commitment is about. That's what acknowledging King Jesus as your Lord and Savior is really about. And so today there are three truths that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God as Paul lays it out, as God uses Paul to lay these truths out. And so if you would, I want to ask that you would stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and following. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Will you pray with me? Father, Lord, right now we want to thank you so much for our time of worship through song, for our time of worship through prayer. And now it's time for us to continue worshiping through the teaching and preaching of your word. Father, we ask that it'll go forth and that it'll not return void, but that you would begin to speak to our hearts, that you would begin to burden us concerning the truths that are outlined in your word, that we would understand the importance of commitment, that we really develop our relationship with you, that today we're just a little bit closer to you than we were yesterday. Father, tomorrow I pray that you help us to be just a little bit closer to you than we are today. Lord, it's a journey. And I know it's a journey filled with obstacles, and these obstacles are set as traps, as snares by the deceiver, by Satan. And I pray, blessed Lord, that we would be able to sidestep those snares because you lead, guide, and direct us. Help us to lean and to trust only in you. And Father, help us to grow closer to you every single day. Lord, that we would truly understand the value of commitment. We ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are three truths that I want to share with you, I pray that God's word today will ring true. Brad, will you hand me that water right there underneath you, please? I hope that you see the value of commitment and what it looks like for you in your life as a Christian. As a Christ follower, we use the word Christian so flippantly in today's society. And my prayer for you is, yes, that you would be a Christian, but more importantly, I pray that you'd be a Christ follower. As a Christ follower, you understand the importance of spending valuable, necessary time in God's Word. You understand the importance of spending valuable, necessary time on your knees, humbling yourself in His presence, speaking to the one true God. And as we look at the Scripture this morning, these three truths that I want to share with you, if you have your bulletins, you can turn over. You can fill in those couple of three blanks that we have there in each point. But the first thing that I want to submit to you this morning is this. Your greatest discovery in life, listen to me, your greatest discovery is God wants to know you. That is the greatest discovery that you'll ever have as a child of God. The greatest discovery as a lost individual, the greatest joy you'll ever come up with, the greatest joy you'll ever experience is to know this truth, that God wants to know you. That's what was going on in the Scripture. Listen to what Paul was saying. He said this. He said, but then indeed, he was just talking about being heirs. You remember last week we talked about being a part of the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I think we've acknowledged this morning through song, we've experienced God's presence with us today. And if you didn't experience God's presence, then I think you begin to question, well, am I a child of God? Because I want to tell you, God has shown up. Matter of fact, the Scripture says, where two or more have gathered in my name, there I'll be in their midst. And so understand today, God has been here. God is here. He's present with us. But the question then becomes for you is, have you met with Him today? Have you experienced Him already this morning? And so the Scripture says this, as a child of God, therefore, in verse 7, it says, therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So there it is. There's that picture of being a part of the family of God. And then he goes on and he enters into this next section. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you have turned again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? That's what verse 9, but the first part is, you see this, that it's important that you know who God is. But I say it's even more important that you understand God wants to know you. It's one thing to realize, to see, to visualize that there is a God and you know who He is. There are a lot of people in the world that we know who they are by their names. It's name recognition. One of my favorite people in the world is Peyton Manning. Just a a good guy. I want to tell you, I don't know if you're aware of this, but he and I are really close friends. Peyton Manning, you're laughing, but it's true. Peyton Manning and I are good buddies. At least in my mind, we are. And so I'm sharing this because I want you to know that I know who Peyton Manning is. It's important that I be able to cast this vision to you today. I know who Peyton Manning is. He's newspapers all the time, Sports Illustrated. He's on ESPN. He owns pizza places. I mean, he's a quarterback for the Broncos. He's been to the Super Bowl 3 times. He's won one. I mean, I know he played for the Tennessee Volunteers, matter of fact, I even know that he married a lady from West Tennessee. Did you guys know that? And so I know Peyton Manning. But let me ask you this question. Do you think for 1 second that Peyton Manning knows who Brad Patterson is? No. Do you see the difference there? It's important that you be able to see the difference. You got to understand the same thing is true with us and God. So many people know who God is, and that's why Paul was preaching this to the Galatians. There were a lot of different backgrounds there. There were Jews who had come to Christ come to faith through Jesus, and you understand all of the different traditions and the religions that they followed. And then there were the Greeks, the Gentiles, who worshiped all of the Greek and Roman gods. Literally, it was a pantheon of gods. Many, many gods. Zeus, Mercury, all of these different, Neptune. They worshiped all of these different gods, and they would literally go into the pantheon of gods, and there would be statues all over the place, and they would go to those statues, and they would bow in homage to those, and they would hope for just a minute. Really, it was about them sacrificing to these gods because they did not want those gods to know them individually, because they feared their wrath. They feared the judgment of those gods. And so the picture that Paul began to share with the Galatian churches was that God desires to know you. That was revolutionary for them. They had never thought, these Gentile believers at this point, they never really understood that until Paul explained it, this truth about Jesus Christ. And so they began to talk about eternal life, and Paul tried to share with them what eternal life really was. And a lot of them, they really misunderstood what eternal life really meant. For most of them, it just meant that I'm going to live forever. That's really all for most of them that eternal life was all about. But eternal life is so much more than being able to live forever. I want you to know that today. Eternal life is really about a relationship. And so John chapter 17, verse 3 says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Did you hear the explanation that Paul gave? Do you see what he's talking about? Can you feel the excitement that these men and women and children would have had coursing through their veins, because they began to understand, first of all, what eternal life is, but it's based on that relationship with King Jesus? That's what this text is about this morning. This is what he said in chapter 9. He says, "But now after you have known God," wait a minute, it's even more important that you know God, he says. He says this, "or rather are known by God." I don't know about you, but I want to be known by God. Amen? I want God to know who I am. I want him to have my name written in one of those books up there in heaven. Amen? I want him to know me personally. And the only way that happens is if I have a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Doesn't happen any other way. It's important that we see what God desires for us, and that's that he know us. So how do you suspect that'll ever happen? Because there's so many in the world that we live in today who claim to know God. So many people, just like in the Bible days, so many people claimed to know the gods. I know Zeus is over there, and I know Mercury is over there, and I know the sun god is over there, And I know Thor is over there. And we have all these movies that we watch about all of these foreign gods as well. But can I submit to you today that there's only one God and He makes Himself known to us through the flesh, through the person of Jesus Christ? And He desires to be in a relationship with you? Listen to what Matthew chapter 7 says. I want you to get this. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Let's as we reference that, let's break it down for just a minute. Listen to what he says. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven." Today, so many people call on the name of God, but they don't know Him because they don't have a relationship with Him through Jesus. And he goes on to say, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." But here it is. "But he who does the will of my Father in heaven." What is the will of the Father in heaven? To know Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's His will. His heart's desire is that you enter into a relationship with Him through Jesus. And he says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" That's a scary thought for all of those people who worship all of those false, dead, foreign gods. But you can know Him today through Jesus. Or rather, He can know you today through Jesus. I'm not being boastful. I'm not being prideful. But I want to tell you something. I'm known by Jesus. I know Him as my personal Savior. My personal Savior. Do you know why I know Him? Because I've confessed my sins to an almighty God. Because I understand that I miss the mark by myself. There's nothing good in me. And the only way for me to be able to enter into heaven, as His Word says right here, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." And I have to understand that principle, that the only way I can enter into the kingdom of heaven is if I do the will of the Father in heaven. And the will of the Father is to know God through the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, point one is, your greatest discovery in life is this: that God wants to know you. Isn't that a great truth? Isn't it great to be able to see and to understand that God desires to know you? Let me ask you this. How many of you want to know God? That's a valid question that begs a response. How many of you want to know God? And then I share with you that if you don't know Him today, there is no pantheon of gods. Listen to me. There's one God. There's one Father. There's one Son. There's one Spirit. And that's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you can know God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. It's it. And so that truth is to discover today that God wants to know you. Number two is this: your greatest mistake. I'm so good at mistakes. I mess up so many times. Can I just get an amen? Yeah, I'm talking about for me. So you can say it louder. Can I get an amen? I mess up so much. Amen. Yeah. But you know the truth of that is that God's already forgiven me. And so here it is. Your greatest mistake is turning back to old habits. That's the greatest mistake that you and I will ever, ever make is once we have known God, or rather are known by God, that we would turn back to our old lifestyle, our old way of living. Why is it, do you believe, we do that? Why is it that once we have tasted salvation, once we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior, just a little while later, we turn right back to our old way of life? Why do we do that? A couple of things, I believe. One, either you don't know Him, or you've just not developed that relationship with Him. Both are important. Amen? And And so we see this scripture this morning. Is the text says right here at the last part of verse 9, he says this, or rather known by God. And then he goes on, there's a comma, and he shifts. He transitions pretty abruptly. He said, how is it then that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? So the picture at this point then becomes those who were enter the churches of Galatia, all the churches, there were several, don't know exactly how many, but there were several churches there in Galatia, and Paul was dealing with, and he had some mixed emotions, because what he understood where the Jews came from, and he understood where the Gentiles came from, and he was trying to help them understand that both ways were wrong, that all of their tradition, all of the elements that they lived by, all of the law that they tried to keep, and then for the Gentiles, all of the way they worshiped all of the different gods in the pantheon, that they're dead gods, they're false gods, they're not real. And Paul was trying to paint that picture for them, but they still didn't understand it because the deceiver had crept in, and he was even using people of the church to deceive. As we look at the scripture this morning, one of the things that we can know is they were turning back to those beggarly elements to which they desire again to be in bondage, is they were going back and they were doing all of the things that they had done in the days of old. That the middle wall of separation really didn't mean anything to some of them. But it was all about that middle wall of separation. That's what you need to understand today. That it's all about the middle wall of separation being torn in two from top to bottom, which shows that God desired to enter into that relationship with you. And so we see, what about today? There are a lot of different groups who do a lot of different things, and some worship on Saturday, and some worship on Sunday, and I want to tell you this morning, some of them don't eat meat because of the Old Testament law, and there's so many different things that they continue to try and live in, and to try and make it a part of their relationship with God. But really, all God desires is that you have a relationship with Him, that you enter into that, that you spend time with Him on a regular basis. So all of the Jewish festivals that they were a part of then, they were beginning to enter back into those festivals, and they were beginning to enter into those Old Testament laws once again. But I want to share what the scripture says to you. This is what the middle wall of separation being torn into from top to bottom really meant. Listen to the scripture here in Colossians chapter 2. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. Verse 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. The most important thing then becomes what? Jesus. What's the most important thing? Jesus. Jesus is the most important thing. Not the new moon festivals or all of these, not what you eat or not what you drink. It's all about Jesus. And I don't care how many times we preach it from the pulpit, someone is going to leave believing that it's about all of that other stuff too. But it's all about grace. It's all about what Christ did on Calvary's Hill. It's all about Him knowing who I am through the blood of Jesus. And it's about you knowing Him through the blood of Jesus. And so let me ask you a question. We worship on Sunday, right? Is that the day we gather together? We worship on Sunday. Amen or oh me? I want to share this truth with you. We really don't have a Sabbath day. Not one particular. Listen to me. Every day should be a Sabbath day for children of God. Every single day should be set aside for us to acknowledge King Jesus as ruler and Lord of our lives. Every day. Not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just Saturday, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, not just those days, but every day. Today, we worship, amen. Tomorrow, we worship, amen. Tuesday, we worship. Amen. Wednesday, we worship. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we worship. And then we come back in Sunday together. Prayerfully, we join together. And we worship. But every day is a day of worship. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, then every day for you should be a Sabbath. And then the last thing, I have to share this morning. This was the hardest one for me to come up with a point with. I had it, and I talked with Brad about it. I talked with Miss Jerry about it, because I didn't want to come off sounding egotistical or prideful or anything like that. But I'm just going to share with you what the Scripture says, because after when it boils down to it, honestly, that's the safest thing to do anyway. Amen? And so this is what the Scripture says in verse 11, and I need you to follow me. Listen to it. The Scripture, he then goes on and he says, I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. I'm afraid for you. This is what Paul said to the churches of Galatia. I'm afraid for you. He realized, you have to understand the full scope of what Paul was talking about. Now, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church, Henderson, Tennessee. I labor, I study hard to bring the word to you. And these are the things that God has called me to do. And I'm thankful that I have an opportunity to do that. I've had opportunity to talk with many of you and lead you to the Lord and help you see what that covenant relationship through the blood of Jesus really looks like. And I'm thankful for having those opportunities with you. But it's not the same as a man like Paul, who literally went and planted these churches. He worked and he labored. He was diligent so hard. He entered into the relationship with these people. He was trying to explain to them. He was bringing them from all of the false religions of the world during that day in those areas. And his heart was literally breaking. He was in so much pain. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says, like a mother enters into labor pains. Ladies, you know, even though you're not in labor pains right now, you understand what he's talking about, don't you? It hurts. It's painful. It's very, very difficult to bear. That's what Paul said. He was trying to explain. This is how bad this is. He says, I am afraid for you. And so I guess I need to go on and share with you this point. My greatest fear is your pastor is that God's word won't take. It's my greatest fear. And it breaks my heart, because the reality is that there are going to be so many people, even over a four-year period already. How many different faces have you seen over a four-year period? We have some who come and they worship with us, and then they leave and they don't worship anywhere, and it's heartbreaking. Reality is, it's heartbreaking. Why? Because we really don't know where they are with Christ Jesus. And our desire should be for them that they really know who God is, that they've really entered into that relationship that's binding, and it's only binding through the blood. And my greatest fear, just like Paul says, my greatest fear is that God's message won't take. Paul's greatest fear was that God's message wouldn't take. And the reason it hurt him so badly is because literally he birthed these congregations. He worked, he labored, he was diligent. He did all of those things. And so Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20 says this. You're right there at it. Just go on and look down just a few verses. This is how he explains that. The exact image Paul used in these verses was about a woman giving birth to a child. And so he says this, my little children, or some translations say my dear children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. If you listen, you can hear the sincerity of Paul's heart. He says, I labor. I labor until, he says, Christ is formed in you. Ultimately, what he's saying is, whatever it takes, despite the cost, I'm going to labor and I'm going to work until Christ is formed in you, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone. But for, I have doubts. And he says that because his heart is breaking. You understand, that's the reason, you know, when we go through the scripture, we don't miss any of it. We don't leave any of it out. But what had happened, again, remember, is that Judaizers had entered into the church, and they were trying to take them back to the way they used to live their lives according to the law. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus becomes Lord of your life, listen to me, when you have a working relationship with King Jesus, you are free from sin, you are free from law, you are free from anything that this earth tries to hold you down with, you're free from it all, but it's only free through the blood of Jesus. And the scripture says, he talks about this, the truth. The word, the truth, it sets you free, right? Amen? And that's where we are right now. We see what God's greatest desire was. And it's about, for you today, as we're closing and we're wrapping this up, but God desires for you to have a committed life. And so the question is, where are you today in relationship to King Jesus? Does he know you by name? If he does, then hallelujah. If he doesn't, then oh me. If he does, then praise Jesus. If he doesn't, then let's get it right before you leave. And you're saying, okay, preacher, I'm just not real sure if he knows me. How can we make that happen today? Listen to me. It's simple, but it's hard. Yet, it's easy if you're sincere. How does Jesus know you by name? It's you acknowledging that you've missed the mark. It's you acknowledging that there's nothing good in you. It's you understanding that you can never be good enough to save yourself. You can't follow enough rituals and rules and keep enough festivals. You can do nothing in and of yourself to save it. But you can confess your sin to an almighty God, acknowledging that you're not good enough. And you can ask Jesus to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior. Now, to be your Lord and Savior literally means that you're going to allow him to rule and reign in your life. And that's where so many of us miss the boat. We say, I want to know Jesus and I want Jesus to know me, but I don't want my life to change. And I'm going to tell you, if God lives in you, your life cannot help but change. And so today, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. I hope you understand that your greatest discovery in life will be that God desires to know you. And today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you mark this day down because you've been told the gospel. This is God's desire, is that he wants to know you. Okay, preacher, I hear you. How do I do that? By confessing. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I confess my sin. I ask that you forgive me of my prideful heart. I ask that you forgive me when I've not been a good father, when I've not been a good husband. I ask you forgive me of my addiction. And I confess these sins before you, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to take them away and to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. And I want to tell you, it's about sincerity of heart. It's not about the words that you say. It's about the condition of the heart when you say them. And so today, greatest discovery is that God wants to know you. Greatest mistake for those of you who are Christian, those of you who claim Christ as your Lord and Savior, your greatest mistake is turning back to old habits. You can't enter into this relationship with Jesus without being changed. And then my greatest fear is that I'm going to look back on the end of my ministry, whether I'm whether it was at Poplar Grove or Scotts Hill or First Baptist Church or wherever God may have me. But my greatest fear is that I've looked back and I see that it was all in vain, that it didn't mean nothing because lives weren't changed. My greatest desire is that God would use me to be a life change agent. And so today, where are you with God? What decisions do you need to make? Today, we're going to have an invitation time. And I don't know what God has laid on your heart. I don't know if you even thought about being ready to make some kind of decision today for God. But we're going to have an invitation time. And it's going to be a time for you to come, and maybe you just want to bow. And my prayer is that the altar would be filled with people acknowledging that there's nothing good enough in you to save yourself. And that you come, you just pour your heart out to God. And maybe you're here and you need to pray for someone else. Maybe that's what God is burdening you with right now. You know that you have that relationship and God is calling you to do nothing else but pray for someone who's lost. You come and do that today. Or maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. And you want to do that. I want to ask you, if that's you, in just a minute, I want to ask you to get out of your seat. Come and talk to me. If you don't want to do it in front of everybody else, that's okay. But see me after service today. Make sure we talk so that I can help you understand what has to happen, what you have to do in order to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we're going to have this time. And I just want to ask you, I want to invite you right now. You go on and stand. And I promise you, if you've been here present with us in the flesh today, then God has showed up. And I pray that you've allowed Him, that you'll allow Him to continue to speak to you, and today that you'll make a decision for King Jesus.